submit our emotions under the leadership, the government, and the testaments of your presence. Lord, we ask that you have free course of expressions tonight. Minister to us from the very depths of your spirit. Let your voice thunder upon us from the heights of the heavens. We ask that we hear you from the mountains of Zion. The voice of thunder and thunderings. The covenantal dimensions of your voice. We come under the atmosphere where the rulership of your spirit dwells. We submit our intelligence. We submit philosophies. We submit human ideologies. Teach us by your wisdom. Utter your voice that is upon many waters. Let the heart of men be instructed. And let the ways of the spirit be made better. Ha 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 kasina. Say ah me falakas.
What you focus on matters.
God is already moving.
You were waiting for a message, but the waters of the Spirit have already been stirred. And he said, at a certain time, an angel of the Lord went down into the water and troubles it. We don't discern the moments of the Spirit. Just lift your hands toward heaven and ask him to fill you. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to fill you afresh. Ask him to fill you, because there is an impartation of fire coming for somebody. You travel from far. I bring you the witness of God. There is an impartation of fire coming on somebody. And as I speak, by the Spirit of the living God, let the ministration of the Spirit begin. One day, break the verse. Tonight, anything is possible. Anything is possible at any time of the service. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please be seated.
Thank you, sir, for the privilege. Such a great honor. It's an overwhelming privilege to be here this evening to share the word of God. It's important for us to understand that God doesn't need a miracle service to heal the sick. It's important to understand that God doesn't need a miracle service in order to unveil the multifaceted possibilities that are locked up in his reality. The first time God began to explore and to bring expression to the wondrous dimensions that were locked up on his inside, no mortar was present. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was no man, because carrying out acts of wonder is a manifestation of his love, and he is a being of love. So many times, every time there is an opportunity, he spreads himself. And when God is spread upon the people, the supernatural becomes commonplace. So you can step out of your bathroom and God can spread himself upon you. You can stroll to a lecture hall and God can open up himself like an envelope of life. And the miraculous begins to happen. So when we call for a miracle service, one is because there is a movement in the Spirit and we have discerned. And on the strength of that movement, we want to align, because we know what God wants to do is beyond healing. It's beyond working a miracle. In the days of the apostles, they strode to the market and they carried out feats of wonder. Services like this affords us the privilege to enter into dimensions in God deeper than the manifestations of his works. It is in miracle services like this that many receive transgenerational mantles. You may come to receive a healing, but what was set up in heaven is to confer a mantle upon your life, because that which you look for, you were born to give expression to. But if you don't understand that the movements of the Spirit are beyond what God does per time, you may blot yourself out of what God wants to do. So when I come for meetings like this, I'm looking for something beyond a miracle. It is in meetings like this that we gather the articles of our destiny. Many times I spent money to travel. I heard Randy Clark is coming, I'm there. I heard Randy Adonke is coming, I'm there. I am not pursuing a miracle. I know that at such seasons, there is an entourage of angels that walk into the territory. And sometimes, some of the angels that show up were not permitted to walk on earth before that time. So they came with the bounties of heaven. So Saul was looking for his father's missing asses. But there was a setup in heaven. He said, the man that comes to you at this time tomorrow, anoint him as king. He was looking for miracle, but there was a setup of a kingly anointing that was to come upon his life. The man that comes to you at this time tomorrow, anoint him as a king. The guy was looking for a missing ass, but divinity had moved by their wisdom, and they found out that the cry of Israel, the time has come in the calendar of divinity for something to be released from Zion. So this man was walking, his steps were being ordered. He didn't know. He would have been impressed if Samuel told him, okay, these are the asses, just go home, they have been found. But Samuel told him, is it not because the Lord has anointed you king, captain over his people? What God planned is bigger than asses. Your life is about to change. He said, as you depart from me, you shall walk and you will see two men coming with two loaves of bread, with wine, and they shall salute you and they shall give it to you. And as you approach the sepulchre of Rachel, you shall see a company of prophets, and your heart will be changed and you will become another man. Blow like a mighty wind, Spirit of victory, cover us with your wings. Somebody is about to receive a mantle that will change his story. Hey, I remember most times when I come for services like this, and apostle finish ministry, I'll just stroll to the side and say, just in case there's any anointing remaining, don't take it home. Put it here. Put it here. Don't carry it home. There is an empty vessel here. And somebody called me from Germany 3 weeks ago. He said he was listening to my messages. He was diagnosed of cancer and he had been on chemotherapy for 9 months. He heard the messages for 2 weeks and cancer fled from his blood. Because I didn't come for miracles. I came for mantles. So when you show up, God wants to drop something that is transgenerational. Hey God. See, the hand of God is moving. I wonder why people can't sense it. The hand of God is moving. The hand of God is moving. The hand of God is moving. Anything is possible. Don't come to hear a good message. Come to connect to a spirit. So the idea of salvation was not for God to provide us deliverance, primarily. The idea of salvation was for God to restore us into the place where we are fit enough to bring pleasure to Him. Because the purpose of creation was predicated upon the fact that creation was to give pleasure to God. In salvation, what happens is that we were restored to a place of having peace with God. But peace is not the purpose. The purpose is for us to give pleasure to God. So the trajectory of salvation begins with God and it ends with God. And man comes into that equation when the purposes of God were born from his womb. But the man fell. And what God wanted to achieve was to bring a being out of himself that is able to mirror everything that is in his heart. So as he sees that being giving expression to the things that were in his heart, he sees himself in that being. That way he derives pleasure. But it was impossible for this man to do it because on account of the fall, man became guilty. And the only thing he could receive from God was the messianic judgment, because the holy nature of God will fight him. Even if God tries to approach him, the only thing God has to give him is death. Because on account of the fall, the only thing that can flow out of God is death. So when God showed up in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible said the voice of God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And God said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard your voice and I hid myself. And he said, have you eaten of the fruit that I said you should not eat? He said, the woman you gave me. It was no longer important whatever explanation you gave. Now that you are fallen, the only thing that my spirit can give you is death. So the first thing God did was to quickly pursue him out of the presence. Because if you stay there, my vengeance will lick you up. I am a consuming fire. The only way you can relate with me is when you stay under government. The government that I establish is your shield. The government is not only to bring you to a place of obedience. It is the only basis by which I can relate with you. You have violated government. Run away. Because the one you will see is judgment. So on account of the fall, man was only qualified for death, for judgment. He had become sin and corruption. So what salvation did for man was to restore man to a place where he has peace with God. So in Romans 5 verse 1, he said, having received justification by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But that was not the plan. The plan, according to Revelation 4:11, is that all things were created for thy pleasure. God is at peace with man, but God doesn't have pleasure. The only way God can have pleasure is for this man to journey in that trajectory until he comes into the knowledge of the divine. So John said, I write unto you, children, because your sins have been forgiven. I write unto you, young men, because the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. So only the Father have come to the end of salvation. The trajectory of salvation is to bring the man back to communion, where he can mingle with the divine until he becomes a visible expression of God. Only the Father has maximized the possibility of salvation. So only the Father can give pleasure to God. So I told you, miracle services like this are not primarily designed to give healing. You will receive healing, but the idea is to equip you so that you journey on this path until you become a father. One who has known him that is from the beginning. The word is ginosko. It means intercourse. It means koinonia. It means communion. A kind of communion that produces only one thing, God. This is what happens when a man marries a woman. They mingle with themselves in communion. And what comes out is an offspring. That offspring is neither the mother or the father. It's a hybrid. So the idea of salvation was to bring man back to communion so he can birth the plan and the purposes of God. If all we receive from services like this is a healing, then we have not been helped. We will receive healing because it's part of what God gives to children. I write unto you, children, your sins have been forgiven. So the effect, the impact, the consequences of sin were written off because the child had known the Father. He has received from the Father, but he journeys further. This is why most of us here who are not sick still came. And most times, it's even those who are not sick that have more expectation. Most times, the people who are sick, you need to persuade them. There are three channels of power. The first channel of power is the name of Jesus. The second channel of power is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third channel of power is according to the work, the power that worketh on your inside. That is exercising yourself unto godliness. In the name of Jesus, you don't do much. All you need to do is to have a revelation of him. If you have a revelation of Jesus, his name becomes a weapon in your hand. So we can show up in the name of Jesus. You saw that many people have already been delivered. There was no message. Because there is a revelation in the name of Jesus. The reason is because the name of Jesus is the capsule that hosts all of the dimension of God. The Bible said it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. So when he gave us his name, he gave us the fullness of the Godhead. So anyone that has a revelation of Jesus has the greatest power. He can work miracles. This is why sicknesses are the least things we want to handle in the miracle service. We can show up with the revelation of the name of Jesus and cast out devils. and cause infirmities, and you will go healed, but you may not be helped. The fathers, the patriarchs of old, understood the power of names. So what they do is, every time they have an encounter with God, they encapsulate it in a name. So Abraham did not give Isaac sheep and goats. Abraham gave Isaac El Shaddai. Isaac gave Jacob El Shaddai. So when God appeared to Moses, he said, I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai. With El Shaddai, you can open the heavens. So Isaac will tell his son, I bless you with corn and wine. He was not with corn. He has El Shaddai. He will tell him, I bless you with the dew of heaven. He has El Shaddai. He knows the power of names. Every time you invoke that name, the multi-breasted one shows up. So with the name El Shaddai, you have all the bounties of God. So they taught their children the El Shaddai that they encountered. When Jacob wanted to bless his children, he said, Yahweh keep you, El Shaddai bless you. If I invoke El Shaddai, I'm invoking the bounties of God. So they knew what the name of God means. That's why he said to Moses, say unto Aaron, bless the children of Israel in this wise. Say, the Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance above you and give you peace. He said, name upon them the name of the Lord. The moment you have the name of the Lord, you have the resources of God. So the revelation of the name of Jesus is a trigger of power. So with the name of Jesus, we can cause changes. And that is enough for a miracle service. But we move a bit further. We come into the gospel. In the gospel, you are equipped to live above the power of death and corruption. So the gospel is a bit more relevant to you than the knowledge of the name. Because if you don't know the gospel, you can't know the power in the name. The gospel is the revelation of the person of Christ. It's the gospel that reveals to you that Jesus is the Son of God. It's the gospel that reveals to you that the totality of the Godhead is in Christ bodily. It is the gospel that reveals to you that God is at peace with you. Why? Because he made him that was without sin to become sin for us, so that we become the righteousness of God. It is the gospel that reveals to you that the blood of Jesus was taken to the tabernacle of heaven and made atonement for us. So the testimony that God hears is not what you say with your mouth. It's the testimony of the blood. So when you show up before God, you have confidence because you know the blood speaks. So the gospel gives you confidence before God. And on account of the gospel, you come into an experiential relationship with God. Because one of the tokens of the gospel is eternal life. Another token of the gospel is the Holy Ghost. And what the Holy Ghost comes to do is to animate God in your life. To animate God. So any man who understands the gospel, what happens is that God is fleshed upon his life. This is why Jesus didn't say pray for the sick. He said lay hand on the sick. What is happening? Eternal life is crystallizing from your spirit. So the extent to which you understand the gospel is the depth of your manifestation. So you can show up in a miracle service and you just say you are blessed. And they go, they discover they are healed. Because eternal life has crystallized out of you. That also would have been enough for a miracle service. But beyond that, when we come for a miracle service, we teach another thing. We teach men how to exercise the power that is at work within them. The power that is at work within you. If you can stir that power, anywhere you go, you'll be a champion. Because there may be a time where the crisis of life will affect you and you will not remember what you were taught. Have you been to that point before where a challenge came and all that is in your head is that challenge? So even when you are saying Jesus, Jesus, you are running. I don't know, I've been there. So I know it first time. Jesus, Jesus, and you are. So your confidence is not in the name of Jesus. Your confidence is your ability to sprint. So the insurance that is given to believers is the ability to stir the power that is at work within them. And the first way to do it is by the protocol of communion. If you don't know the way of communion, you will have the greatest power in the world, the name of Jesus. You will have the Holy Ghost and eternal life, yet you will be defeated. It was Apostle that taught us here that there are four dimensions of power that is used predominantly in the New Testament: dunamis, exousia, iskus, and kratos. He said dunamis is potential power. As you engage, it is converted to kratos. So every believer that does not know how to commune is a believer that is a potential defeat in life. So one of the things you receive in miracle services like this is hunger to press into God. Is an understanding of the protocol of communion. It is a reawoken commitment to the altars of communion. Because this is what made men perpetual champions. And this is what brought men to maturity. I can tell you about God from when you are a child till you are old. You may not know him until the Holy Ghost reveals him to you. As I'm talking now, you are not hearing what I'm saying. Most of you are hearing what the Holy Ghost is telling you. That's why all of you are hearing different things. It's called the ministration of the word. So if you want to strengthen that walk in your life so that you grow to become a father, a man that can be all pleasing to God, what you do is you begin to engage the power that is at work on your inside. It is called communion. And when a man begins to engage communion, there are seven things that happen in his life. I call it the seven governments of the presence. The first thing that happens in that man's life is that he is brought into the corridor of light. That is when you know God by experience. The reason we engage prayers here as though prayer is all we know is because it is the channel of communion. If you can't engage a spirit, you can't know him. The degree to which you talk to a spirit is the extent to which you can know him. So engaging God experientially brings you to a place where you see the light of God. These were the things that happened to men like Isaiah. He was born a prophet, but Isaiah did not even know the signature of God on his life. And in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He had entered into the realm of light. And when Isaiah came out of that encounter, Isaiah became a messianic prophet. See, Christianity is not a set of activities. Christianity is divinity expressed through humanity. And divinity can only be expressed through a man when he comes under the light of God's presence. This is why communion becomes the heaviest molecule of priesthood. You can't engage God. We are weak. Reverend Shala was telling us here how that Christianity in our day is weak. The reason is because communion is weak. Communion is weak. Men no longer know how to walk with spirit. So we say things we were told. We say things we read. We say things we hear. But the Bible said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It said, holy men of God, they speak as they were carried by the Spirit of God. When Isaiah came out of his interaction with light, Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. If you are in his generation, you would think it's a phrase. Unto us a son is given. And the government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. Do you know that that simple phrase that Isaiah made is what validated the ministry of Jesus? Nobody would have believed him except as it was spoken by the prophets. So every step Jesus took, he said, as it was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, as it was spoken, they entered into corridors of light. So they were speaking words that were immortal. When they uttered their voices were like the voice of God. It came from eternity past and it will stand until eternity future comes. There's a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. And the whole ministry of John anchored on that statement. Who are you? Are you one of the prophets? No. Are you the Messiah? No. Who are you? I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Even Jesus, when they asked Jesus, who gave you this authority? Jesus referred to John. And John referred to Isaiah. And Isaiah spoke because he saw light. So one statement stood for more than 800 years. The reason we speak and there's no power is because we don't speak from heaven. We speak human philosophy. And we think that is Christianity. We are orators. We are rhetorics. Rhymes. But nobody is speaking from heaven. When a man speaks from heaven, his word is planted on earth like an immortal pillar. The apostles were struggling to understand what God wanted to do. And a man showed up called Paul of Tarsus. And when light appeared to him, in Galatians chapter 1 from verse 11, he said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, for what I say, I was not taught of any man. What happened to Paul? When Jesus appeared to him, that hunger drove him into Arabia. He went for communion. It was his honeymoon with Jesus. And when Paul was there, again and again, Jesus came to him. And he brought him the testimonies of God. This is what this means. This is what this means. This is what. And when Paul spoke, even Peter said the things that Paul uttered, they are difficult to understand. Because he was taught of his spirit. Miracle is just one out of many things that characterizes dominion. But when you begin to mingle with light, what happens is that you are brought into the counsel of God. You are brought into the courts of God. And your words becomes a testimony of Jesus. So the first thing light does, it shows you the standard of God and compares you with God's standard. And then you will discover that what motivates you when you preach is applause. So what it means is that your preaching will die with the applause. It's only light that will show you. Light will show you that this thing you are laboring all night to do, the name is called Babel. You are not the first. They started it. Nimrod started it in the land of Shinar. So it's Babel you are building because you want to make a name for yourself. The thing with Babel is that when it grows very high, God will come and destroy it. So what is showing, what is showing you is that your life is already a waste. You are just wasting time. So it will become a large system, but God is waiting for you to become what? A tower. Then he will come and... So you will take dressing. And when you take dressing, you enter into the counsel of God. This is why men like Daniel were great forever. He walked by light. The hidden queen gave a testimony concerning Daniel. He said, there is a man, Daniel chapter 5 verse 11, in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. He said, light and understanding and excellent wisdom, such as is among the gods, dwell with this man. You can't gainsay his words. Job said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. By light. The reason a man can show up and say, be healed, and he's not shouting, and you are healed, is not because of the English meaning. Light is an energy. We are not taught responsibility in the kingdom. This is the first article, communion, yet most of us cannot pass it. Communion. This is why Dangote doesn't need our gospel. Because we cannot see from heaven. Even when we open the oracles of God, all we see are earthly. Bread and wine. Breakthroughs in jobs. So what do you tell the man that employment? You don't have a gospel for him. But in the days of old, these men pressed into God until they became like the cedars of Lebanon. When they talk from Zion. God is the first to bear witness to their words. Elijah said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. You can't change it anywhere. He's talking from Zion. This is where Christianity begins from. And it will take the labor of communion to get there. You see, the cedar of Lebanon, the root is 300 feet tall, deep. The root. So it can take years to take root. But when it grows, the height is more than 120 feet tall. It pierces through the cloud. When a man labors in communion, what he's doing is that he wants to become a creature of eternity. In the day of his showing forth, when he utters his voice is like the voice of many waters. Services like these are designed to provoke you into communion. Your sickness is not a challenge before God. The challenge God has is how to woo you into the presence. How to woo you. Because we are tied to this mundane civilization. We are locked here. I want to pray by 9, but you're on Facebook till 12. So the Holy Ghost will take 3 months to woo you. That's the challenge of God. How do I bring this man into communion? How do I teach this man that the value of his life is the texture of his communion? Your sickness is the least thing God wants to deal with. But it may take a lifetime for you to find communion. And when you do, you become like a patriarch. Your voice becomes the testimony of God. We don't have time. Seven articles of the presence. The second is the government of sound. The third is the government of fire. The fourth is the government of the stones, the coals in the fire. The government of sound transmits spiritual realities. I was in the Isle of Patmos in the day of the Lord, and I heard a voice like as of a trumpet. And as I turned, they leave from heaven. This is why our Christianity don't look like their own. Because we are earthly beings. We talk human philosophies. We talk wisdom of men. We don't hear the voices of immortals. He said, the seven voices uttered their voice. And as I wanted to write it, he said, no, seal it. This one is only available to those who come to heaven. So when John comes and says, you are blessed, if you like the Moron, you will be blessed. That voice can shape your life. It will compare you to be blessed. This is what Christianity is. But many of us have not started becoming Christians. Sound. He said they were in one accord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they heard a sound from heaven. And immediately, there were light, cloven tongues as of fire on their head. And they began to speak in tongues. They never heard it from anywhere. Because sound communicates spiritual reality. People are running up and down. Sir, what is my calling? Am I an apostle or a prophet? That's somebody wanting to go to ministry. He wants to know whether it's an apostle or prophet. So when you say, you are a prophet, then he will now go and put it as his title. Confuse people, confusing many other confused people. So the plague of our generation is dislocation. And because himself was told, he now tells 10,000 other young men, you are an apostle, you are an evangelist, you are a deliverance minister, you are... And we run into all kinds of disjoints and dislocation. And there are casualties everywhere. Because men don't labor in God's presence to hear the sound of their destiny. There is a code for your destiny. There is a code. You must decipher it in the presence. You must decipher. As you tarry with God and engage Him, a point comes where you begin to hear those noise. I was asking myself, I said, how did these people write these hymns? That you will hear a hymn in the village, it carries power. You hear it in the palace, it carries power. You hear it in the market, it carries power. How did they write these songs? And it dawned on me that they didn't write it. Their labor was to decode it because they heard angels play them. And most of the men that sang these hymns, I read about Fanny Crosby, the blind woman that wrote 8,000 hymns. Many times she goes to sit in the desert, and as she's talking to God, sometimes after 7 days, then a sound breaks out of her spirit. When she's singing, she doesn't know it's written. It's the people that hear it that come to write it, sometimes they put it together and they send it out. These men were sentenced perpetually to the pursuit of God. So they stopped being creatures of time. Today we are doing ministry, business of the altar, yet we are merchants on the altar. Because we are on the altar, but we've never heard God. The Bible said, and the voice of God was scarce in those days. And the eyes of Eli became dim. And the oil lamp in the temple went out. There's no light anymore. On the altar, but there's no light. So everyone is blinded. If we can hear sound, if one among us hears sound, then our generation can be rescued. Because he sent his word to Jacob and he lightened upon Israel. And the first good thing that will happen to us is to be taught how to engage this spirit called Yahweh. How to engage him until we find ourselves in him. The government of sound. The government of fire. The government of the stones of God. The government of the crystals of his spirit. God is locked up in crystals. In Revelation 4:3, he said, I looked upon him and he was as unto jasper and sardine. Why God hides himself is, this is why the secrets of God are mystical. You may know it. They will tell you God loves you, but you will never know the meaning. Because it's encoded. And the only way a man can see through those crystals is when he's broken. Because mysteries are not for the learned. He said, we are servants of God, therefore we are stewards of the mysteries of God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenants. When the government of the fear of the Lord is enthroned over a man, he becomes a mystical personality. And all of these are available. But because we are not beings of communion, we can't find the government of the waters of God. That's what keeps a man perpetually happy. They tell him, that ship capsized. He said, okay, no problem. Then you are watching him to see whether he will go and lie down and cry. Then he wakes up and says, there's a miracle meeting. Let's go there. You know, I say, wait, are you a human being? No, he's not a human being. He's an immortal creature. There is water. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 46 verse 4, it said, there is a river and the streams thereof make glad the city of God. The reason many of us are depressed is because there's no water flowing in our spirit. It's like the waters of Ecclesia. He said, I came in Ezekiel 47 from verse 5 and he poured 1,000 cubits. It was at the ankle. He poured 1,000 cubits. This is what this man did in the secret place. So when they come out, we now see the color of their suit. We go and buy the same color of suit. I went to an orientation camp. And when the power of God was moving, I say, I curse the prince of immorality. And when I was coming back, one tire exploded twice. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Because it's by his mercies that we are not consumed. It's compassion. Faith, Lord. I made up my mind. Me, I will find my God. I will find my God. Because I've been captivated too many times. Your wife is pregnant. You are enjoying yourself gallivanting. On the labor day, you now call intercessor. Meanwhile, you had 7 months. Not only to secure the pregnancy, but to isolate the destiny of that child. Because on the day of the naming, that is when you are supposed to alter his prophetic destiny. But you were gallivanting. You think it's all about delivery. Wise men know their children before they are born. So he tells you, this one is a prophet. He's not trying to speak by faith. He saw it in the spirit. Christianity is communion. That's what I'm saying. And the quality of your communion is the testimony of your Christian life. Else you will walk with Titus, but the spirits know that you are not on the Lord's side. You can talk it boldly, but the spirits know. This is why our circumstances oftentimes reveal to us the scarcity of God in our lives. Because we can say it when we are on a cruise mode. In the day of crisis, the ones that know God will be exonerated. I came to challenge you to pursue communion. The last government is the government of the tree of life. Go and study them. And you will know whether your life is truly a life of a witness. But the men that travel there, they come out with the testimony of light and of fire. And every time they speak, even creation reverberates to respect the voice of the one talking. Moses, at the age of 80, climbed Sinai, which was over 7,000 feet tall, to go and see God. 7,000 feet tall. And for 6 days, he's waiting on the mountain before God comes down. And then you say, I have the mantle of Moses. And you can't wait in the room for 3 days, but you have the mantle of Moses. Our generation, we are deceived. I came to provoke your holy conscience, your pure conscience, to pursue the presence. That's where life begins from. You can be here. Every minister here will lay hands on you. Your destiny will go nowhere. Are you a Christian? It's not in the title. It's in the quality of your intimacy. Oh, yeah.